With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or
Jeff Calkins is on his way to Portland for tomorrow night's game between Memphis and Oregon. We'll talk to him at 5 o'clock, but right now he is a college basketball analyst for ESPN, also a lawyer. It's Jay Billis making the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview, presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar, using food and wine to create memorable times.
Jay Billis, it's Gary Parrish. How you doing?
Great, Gary. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I appreciate you being here. Let's just start with the biggest question, which is, I think, how unusual is it for a university to handle a situation like this, the way the University of Memphis is handling this situation, by essentially playing a student-athlete that the NCAA has told them is likely ineligible?
Traditionally, it is horribly unusual for this to happen. But given where we are with the NCAA and how low in what low esteem the NCAA is seen right now, not only in Memphis but everywhere, I think a lot of different places have taken the tack of, look, if we cooperate, they're going to hit us with a bag of hammers anyway. We might as well fight, because you can look at a number of different cases, whether it's Notre Dame's academic thing or Syracuse. Yeah, you know, count them up, where universities cooperated and they got crushed anyway. And then they look at other places that have fought and have got better treatment. I think a lot of folks are saying, hey, let's just go ahead and fight. And you're right there in Memphis, Gary. You know that right now the Memphis fan base is itching for a fight. So the President Rudd, the athletic director, they're being hailed as heroes for putting up a fight against the NCAA. And the only risk there is risk here, and the main risk is from what's known as the restitution rule. So if the NCAA or if Memphis decides, okay, we're going to play Wiseman the whole year, this is going to be tied up in the court system, and it's our decision whether to play him or not, and we'll have to live with the consequences if he's later found to have been ineligible. The only thing they really have to worry about is what is the NCAA going to do afterwards, retroactively? Are they going to vacate all the games? Are they going to say, well, you were ineligible for the tournament, and next year's tournament, the year after that? Who knows? There's all kinds of penalties that come in this restitution rule, and the rule exists so that the NCAA can dissuade anyone, any university, from going against their judgment. And it's been used forever, and it's always been pretty powerful, but as a tool to dissuade folks from fighting. But right now it's not dissuading Memphis in any way, shape, or form. And I think I've been surprised that there are so many people outside of Memphis that seem to be applauding this. And saying, you know, I hope you win. And honestly, I'm kind of one of them that I think in the past the NCAA has kind of bullied some schools and forced them to sort of bow down on the altar of the NCAA and beg for forgiveness. And the ones that have fought have done better. So I'm kind of thinking, hey, I don't know what's going to happen, but I wouldn't mind seeing this be successful.
Talking to Jay Billis from ESPN, you are right. Memphis fans are rallying around the idea of a fight, and I get it, and I'm fascinated by it and anxious to watch it unfold. You are one of the few people who has an incredible knowledge of the NCAA system, but also the legal system, because you're an NCAA analyst, but also a lawyer. So we keep talking about a fight. Let me ask you this. Do you think it's a winnable fight?
Well, it depends what winnable means to you. Is it winnable in that Wiseman could very well play the entire year? Yes, it's winnable. I don't know if it's winnable for him to play the entire year and play in the NCAA tournament, though. Because with this restitution rule, you could certainly see the NCAA coming back and saying, you know what, you violated all of our principals here. Therefore, we are going to make you ineligible for the tournament. That could certainly happen, and they determine who plays. So that ball's in their court, literally and figuratively. But if winning means will somehow a court, whether it's a federal court or a state court in Tennessee, ultimately rule that that Penny Hardaway, somehow the NCAA's rules on this were invalid, ineffective, or somehow Penny Hardaway was not a booster and giving $11,500 to Wiseman's family for relocation expenses was A-OK, I think that's a little bit of a stretch. I think it's difficult to predict the outcome of a basketball game. I'm less certain about predicting the outcome of litigation, but I don't see this being some cut and dried issue where all of a sudden Wiseman wins and the NCAA's sort of amateurism rules with regard to recruiting of prospects are out the window because they don't define how long one is a booster or how much one has to pay to the university to be a booster, or whether the gift has to go to the athletic department specifically, or if it can go to the university, and therefore you're not a booster. I find that a little bit hard to swallow, both legally and on the equities. And then the other part is sort of this idea that, who could have predicted that Penny Hardaway would be the coach at Memphis? I don't buy that for one second. I think a lot of people thought that was in the cards.
It was definitely in the cards. The day that James Wiseman moved to Memphis, there were people speculating, myself included, that if Tubby Smith is removed after a second year, which would have been that year, the next head coach would be Penny Hardaway. And one of the main reasons that you would go that direction was because he had, not actually in his possession, but you know what I mean, the number one prospect in America in James Wiseman. Talking to Jay Billis.
That's not a winner.
Yeah,
that argument's not a winner. At least, and it sounds plausible when you hear an attorney talk about it without anyone offering the responsible opposing view. And again, these arguments are all good arguments, and they may carry the day. Like, I saw a really, really good sort of Twitter thread from an attorney named Richard Johnson, who was the attorney of record in the Oliver versus NCAA case, which was a baseball case about 10, 12 years ago. I don't remember the exact date. But, just very forcefully making the argument that aligns with James Wiseman's arguments. And while I agree in principle with a lot of the arguments, I don't think they're all going to carry the day in a court of law. But who knows? I don't know whether they will, nor does Johnson, nor do Wiseman's lawyers. Right now, they're all arguments, and reasonable minds can differ on some of these issues. But these have been a lot of these rules have been challenged before, and those challenges have been beaten back. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be fascinating to watch. But hey, look, Gary. Selfishly, I hope Wiseman plays the whole year because I want to watch him play.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that I don't like these rules, but they are rules. And the NCAA has been pretty steadfast in pursuing them in court and out to make sure they can enforce them.
I'm talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jay Billis. You are accurate in. Suggesting that around the country this is actually popular. Oddly, like, people are rooting for Memphis to be able to play a likely ineligible player just because the anti-NCAA sentiment, I really do think, is perhaps at an all-time high. But I'm curious, do you have a sense for how this is playing with college administrators around the country? Because when I talked to, over the past few days, athletic directors, compliance people, they all think that this approach is obviously bold, risky, and not something they would probably be willing to do.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing. It depends on who you talk to. If you talk to some of the old guard, they will tell you that things are out of control, that integrity is lost, and you would never see a president do this. And I'm not casting aspersions on President Rudd here, but in years past, you would never see a president do this, that they were very risk-averse and didn't want to be seen in the light of going against sort of the system. But I do think that this is cumulative, that it is, if you look at all the different cases that have come up over the last several years, and I think it's easy when, you're just talking theoretically about the rules. Like, I'm a law and order guy. I don't drive over the speed limit very often. I wait until the light turns green before I cross the street, all that stuff. I pay my taxes. But I think there are a lot of people who think that these rules are screwed up, and that the NCAA has been a bit of a bully And I do think that's true on occasion. I don't subscribe to those who think that the NCAA is somehow this evil actor. I don't believe that. But I think when you're caught in the crosshairs, when you're the school, so theoretically, I think everybody agrees we need to have rules. But when you're the one that's in the NCAA's crosshairs, then you're going, wait a minute, this isn't fair. Like, this isn't reasonable. You're not listening to us. You're not taking our, and we're having to spend all this money to protect ourselves. Then they're going, I don't like this. So people's perspectives is sort of like the old adage, where you stand depends upon where you sit. And when you're sitting in the defendant's chair, you're going, this ain't fair. Now, when, you know, for Memphis fans, if the University of Tennessee is sitting in that chair, you're going, see, I told you, cheater, you know, stuff like that. You see that kind of tit for tat nonsense go on. But I think the NCAA right now is catching the heat that they probably deserve for having mishandled so many cases over the years and not thinking about, well, what's equitable here rather than sort of this black letter law stuff where they thought that they could, hey, we'll stop jaywalking if we execute a few jaywalkers, you know, that kind of thing.
That is Jay Billis from ESPN. You can see him all the time, obviously, on ESPN. Follow him on Twitter at Jay Billis. Terrific stuff. I appreciate your insight, and I hope to see you again real soon.
Looking forward to it, Gary. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Jay Billis from ESPN. When we come back, I'm going to stay on the James Wiseman situation, and I want to touch on something Jay said, which is, and he and I had not talked about this in advance, but we're on the same page. Part of the complaint is rooted in the idea that it was just unimaginable when this money was exchanged, when James Wiseman's family moved from Nashville to Memphis, that he'd ever someday play college basketball for Penny Hardaway. That's simply not true. We'll dive into that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.